The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Boop, beep, beep, beep. You got 55 minutes to record this episode before Justin has to leave and go hang out with his in-laws.
Where am I going? Did you guess the West Virginia Pumpkin Festival? Because that's the fuck exactly where I'm going.
Exactly the fucking pumpkin festival destination that he is attending.
Do you think I will see the biggest pumpkin in the country? No, it's not a national pumpkin festival, but I will see the biggest in the state. And that ain't too shabby. Ain't too shabby.
Tony Almeida, hand me that gun. I have to shoot this pumpkin. Boop.
Welcome to our pumpkin /24 tribute episode, episode 75, my brother and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your sleepiest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sickest brother, Griffin. Guys, 54 minutes. Let's cram some fucking comedy into this shit.
I work in a law firm, and I just received an all-office email inviting me to my workplace's first ever rockin' Halloween bash. Oh, let me try that one more time. Rockin' Halloween bash. My office has thrown some memorably awkward parties in the past, but this one by far promises to be the worst. We've been told we need to dress up, and there's a special award waiting for the least enthusiastic party attendee. Oh, God. This is a recipe for success. But my already planned Halloween costume is definitely not office appropriate. I need some suggestions for quick, inexpensive costume that I'll pass the muster at this god-awful party and help me avoid being pinned as the office party pooper. I'm a lady in my mid-20s, if that helps narrow down the ideas at all.
Well, she definitely doesn't want to be the party pooper.
Or the party Koopa. Get out of here, crazy shell. Folks, when you ask a question like this, you gotta tell us what celebrity you most resemble. Because otherwise I can't picture in my head. I can't tell you a good costume.
Let's start off by, what do you think that inappropriate costume is? What do you think she's going as?
I think it's somebody like humping an animal. Like, have you seen
what? You think she's just gonna walk around with an animal around her, like on a belt? Then she's gonna be like, get it? I'm fucking this dog. That's my costume.
It's probably that kid, that lady, that gender baby. That's pretty inappropriate.
Damn it, I thought of that costume idea, and I thought it would be so clever. And apparently, I keep thinking of clever things, like, but they're not clever. Everyone thought of them first.
What about this? This occurred to me in listening to the question. Do you have a buddy at your office, like a good friend that you really trust? Because if so, give him a micro recorder with your voice on it and go as an invisible person. And then just go home.
Travis, that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's really good.
It would take a lot of hard work to sync up that audio, but
what you need is a webcam with some sort of 3G dongle where you can watch the action and respond appropriately to your boss's
dongle.
Racist jokes. here's a cheap costume idea, easy to do, that my friends in college and I did on occasion. Was when we would need last minute costumes to go to like a Halloween party or whatever. We were all broke and nobody prepared for anything. So we would all switch clothes and come as each other.
I like it.
You mix it up a little bit. You try, as much as you're, because people at the office will get a kick out of that. I'm Gary. Mm-hmm. Do you get it? Like, I'm dressed like Gary. I'm Gary.
Gary would have to wear some pretty distinctive garb, though, wouldn't he?
It would have to be like Gary's ducky tie, Gary's cummerbund that he always wears.
Man, Gary's a fucking Gary monster.
Mask. And that's going to be horrifying.
You need to cut off Gary's whole face.
I live inside Gary now.
Did you go as Dilbert, or is that like too meta?
Holy shit. Dilbert-themed office Halloween party.
Can you go as sexy Dilbert? Is that a costume?
I'm slutty Dilbert.
I'm sorry. Do you mean Dilbert? The way that tie curves up, don't mind if I do. Those tufts, his no nose and very, very underspoken mouth.
Lack of pupils. I dig that. I'm into that today.
His ambiguous shape.
Yeah, it's like some sort of squash, like a spaghetti squash.
I'd love me a bulbous, noseless fictional character.
People at offices love. Oh my god! You know what you should go as? Kathy. Ooh. People in offices love Kathy. Yeah. They put a Kathy comic up, a Ziggy. They love that.
Ooh, it could be a Ziggy.
You could just go as office supplies and sitting at your desk, just start attaching stuff to your clothes. And it's like, I'm the office supply cabinet.
I'm Rachel from accounting that used to steal things all the time. Hey, Katie, I'm gonna take this a step back. I'm gonna shake this dream and bounce up a level and say don't go to something called the Rockin' Halloween Bash. Just like life rule.
Unless Dick Clark is going to, unless they're gonna wheel out Dick Clark's fucking cryo chamber.
That's a hell of a zombie costume. And here's the thing. I'm actually Dick Clark.
There's nothing they can threaten you with, because what are they going to do, fire you? Because that's going to be an awkward lawsuit afterwards. Right. Like, why did they fire you? Because I wouldn't go to the rocking Halloween
bash. Here's the thing, you guys. I've never worked in an office before, but I have watched every episode of the U.S. Office. And at parties like these is when you find your true love.
Yeah, right.
So maybe you should go, Katie. And meet that special someone.
You'll go and you'll meet Mary Steenburgen. She'll be the one that you've been meant to be with your whole life. And you make a special connection.
And Oscar will be there? From the show The Office?
And Kevin's always getting into something.
Kevin, what's he doing with those M&Ms?
Get out of here.
You crazy kook.
Tubby. Griffin.
You want a Yahoo?
You know I do.
I got a few of those.
I saw some people on Twitter blowing you up.
They blew my shit right up.
With the Yahoo answers. You said, can I get dozens of them?
And people, and they literally gave me dozens. Baker's dozens.
Ian follows close. BC Evans. Thank blowing you, you up.
This one was sent in by frequent contributor Golly Ayali. Thank you, Golly. It's by Yahoo Answers user Emily, who asks, is it illegal to go to class in a high school you don't go to? I am homeschooled and recently went to class in my local high school just to see if anyone noticed. They didn't. Lul. In North Carolina, U.S., by the way. Additional details. I live in a town with 200 population. Everybody my age knows me. Anyway, I've been in public schools before. I was just curious if they would notice or not.
I think a better question is, why didn't her parent teacher notice? Like, yeah. I imagine that homeschool should have a pretty strict attendance policy.
Darla.
Absent. Okay, well, this is going to be an awkward class period.
Mommy's getting drunk? why would you want to go to high school?
Question, like, why would you just slip in? Like, oh, high school.
Yeah, you know you can enroll in that shit. If you don't like homeschooling, you can be like, I'm just going to go to school. You know, school?
Yeah.
Not for play. School.
School. Can she audit? Is that allowed? Can she just audit a class?
I'm sure that in reality, in like real pupil world, all of these things are fine. You could be homeschooled, but there's like an advanced chemistry class you want to take or something. But what you don't get to do is just like Jane Goodall slip in and see what it's like amongst the gorillas in the mist. Like, you have to like sign up for this shit.
Yeah, you have to go to the thing and...
Because at some point, the teacher's going to look over and say, and you are? Why are you here?
Why are you standing in the doorway?
I see you.
I don't want to... I'm about to knock both homeschoolers and my own father, and I apologize to both parties. But there's got to be a point in your life when you're homeschooled, when... for instance, my dad once dumped kitty litter down a drain in our basement, and then the kitty litter got stuck, and so he tried to wash it out with bleach, and then almost died. right, because of the fumes. Those two things killed him. I don't want my dad to teach me chemistry. Does that make sense? There has to be a moment where you look at your parents and you say, no, I don't want to learn this particular thing from you.
If I ever have kids and I end up homeschooling them, homeschooling is going to become a euphemism for lying school. Because it's going to be like, how does the sun work? And I'm like, oh, that's a good question. The devil's inside of it. Next question.
Or you just go to school in Texas. There's another option.
That's close to true.
Just the bad parts where you hate people. I don't know. I know there are smart parts.
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you're upset, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the other ones.
Mm-hmm. I just don't understand how you have to be very, very bright to be a teacher. And I'm not saying that everybody who listens to this show, your parents are stupid. I'm just saying that they're teaching you literally every bit of information you're ever going to know. Maybe you want them to be like super, super on point with their brain smarts. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't think that everybody would possess that, right? Does that make sense? Like, I got taught by like 60 different people coming up.
Yeah, right. You got their wisdom. You're like an educational Highlander. You suck their wisdom out.
I sucked up the marrow of their brain bones, and now I'm the well-rounded person I am today. If it was just my dad, like saying like, hey, don't.
You would be a clone of our dad. I pretty much
already am, but.
But like a brain clone.
Like a brain clone, yeah.
I think, Griffin, you're selling yourself short if you don't think teachers are making up most of it.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, that was the smartest I was ever, like the knowing the most things I was ever going to know. And then after that, now as an adult, I know barely anything. I think teachers are just struggling to keep their minds wrapped around the one subject they have to be an expert of. Because they're adults and they can't remember as many things as they used. I used to know everything.
I used to be the smartest man alive.
I'm willing to bet that they are reading one chapter ahead in the book every week.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they assign a chapter and then they go home and read it too. And they're like, oh, that's some interesting shit. I should talk about that.
I went to a bar trivia night the other night and I got there and they were like, all right, all the questions tonight are going to be geography based. And so what I did, because I was there with friends, was I just got drunk as I possibly could, as fast as I could, so that I could have a reason for not contributing anymore. They'd be like, find Zimbabwe on a map. Like, I can't. What's a Zimbabwe?
Find the toilet. I'm so sick. I'm sorry that you can't go to high school and muddle with your peers.
Can I go to high school?
Yeah.
I can just kick in the door to a high school and be like, hi, I'm Jeremy. And then people will think
I am in no way an investigative reporter.
My dear friend Jason is an English teacher, and I just walked in that high school that he teaches at, and they let me talk to students. So
I always think it's a troubling circumstance when you drive up to a high school and there's like that guard shack security tower, and they just kind of go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You're good.
What are you doing here?
Failing at your job.
Yeah. What do you think the parameter is that they kick you out? Like, I am here to not touch kids. Be like, I don't know. That shouldn't even come to your mind.
Why are you bringing this up?
Why did you even bring it up?
Hey, guys, I'm an avid believer in the philosophy of waiting as long as possible to wash a pair of jeans for the sake of preserving the color in them. I will often go a few months without washing them. The jeans I wear are usually dark in color, so they do not show food and or coffee stains, nor do they noticeably smell from a distance. My main fear of doing this is that those who see me on a day-to-day basis in work setting will start to notice that I'm re-wearing my jeans every day for weeks on end, or that I am a slob or a hobo. Is this a weird thing to do? Are my fears justified? That's from Dirty Denim in Detroit.
That was my favorite Bruce Springsteen album.
Hey, buddy. You're a slob.
No,
hey,
Travis.
Hey.
No, here's when your qualifiers are they don't noticeably smell from a distance.
Yeah.
And they're dark, so they don't show coffee or food stains. Not that they don't have coffee or food stains.
Well, sure. A man's going to spill coffee on his pants. That's gravity.
Well, but third is a few months? Like, you're changing seasons with these pants?
What I need you to do, Travis, is I need you to go and watch the denim episode of Put This On. You're supposed to wear those jeans out until the smell is so strong that you can't wear them.
Wait, so, okay. Is he saying...
You're, like putting on your jeans and trying not to retch.
Like, oh, God.
Can't.
Is he saying that, like, do you think he means he wears them, like, in a month three times spread out over a month, or he's like every day month?
I think these are his off-court buddies, and he's wearing them every day.
Man, if you're going to work in those...
Yeah, he's also just wearing them on the court. They're off and on court buddies.
Yeah, they're just his constant buddies.
They're just his constant
buddies. Everbuddies. They're his everbuddies.
There are many ways to
have you worn those Everbuddies jeans? The new brand from Gap? Yes, they're nice. They have so many pockets.
Your ass looks terrific in those Everbuddies.
They have little inserts for Glade plugins that you can just like slide right in there. And then the smell isn't noticeable from a distance.
They have a Teflon weave. It's pretty nice.
It really catches the stink and holds it in. So, but man, watch out when you take it off. There is a visible cloud.
You know, I hear people using those instead of security deposit boxes now.
Mm-hmm.
You just put them in your Everbuddies.
This is where I keep my stink and my bouillon. In my jeans vault.
There are just so many better ways to preserve the color of your jeans. Do this.
Try like a cold wash.
No, like, A, wash them inside out, because denim's only dyed on the outside.
Wash them inside out in a bathtub of cool water with a little bit of color protection detergent in there.
And line dry them instead of tumble dry, because that's going to help. And put a little bit of vinegar in there when you wash them. It helps lock the dye in. Not a lot.
Is that for real?
Yeah, for real.
I didn't know that.
So, yeah.
All my pants are covered in paint, so I don't know.
Travis doesn't own a pair. I swear to God, he's not making that up. Travis works in a shop. And all of his
good.
Pants.
That's
are,
good and non-specific. That's good and specific.
Yeah.
You know, like a shop.
Like a workshop. Like a shop.
Travis
shop,
is
like
in business.
A set shop.
I work with my hands.
All of his pants are covered in paint and holes, and like I can't go out to dinner with him at a nice place.
I actually went and bought one pair of jeans, and it has remained untouched by paint. And it is like the holy of holies in my house where, like, I must know where those pants are at all times and that they aren't touching in my dirty shop pants. Yeah.
Travis and I went to America's favorite water park, the Great Wolf Lodge in Cincinnati. His trunks have paint on them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't understand it.
Did you paint in your trunks, Travis?
I paint in everything.
Yeah.
I started in the shop, I had such like high hopes of like I will have one pair of paint pants and one paint shirt, and then flash forward 2 years later where I'm just like fuck it, and I just pour wardrobe. Paint right onto my shirts. I like, buy them and then just
it's like flash dance. Pulls a rope and paint just covers them completely. Listen, I don't know how much your jeans cost, but if you are so worried about the dye in your jeans, and that is more precious to you than people thinking you as the stinky kid, which they do, I wear cheaper jeans. I'd rather be cheap jeans Charlie than stinky kid Steve. Right?
Yeah. I agree.
Get those. Hey, right out to Target. Get those $20 Massimo jeans. They're fine. They're just fine.
Why don't you just get, instead of expensive jeans, more jeans and get like a wider rotation?
Double jeans.
Give them double jeans.
Have you worn double Everbuddies?
Have you worn those double jean Everbuddies from Gap?
It's basically like an airlock system.
They cost $300,000.
Your dick will suffocate.
They are airtight.
They keep the last remaining sample of smallpox in there. That's in my Everbuddies. My hermetic.
More or less, it's like an iron lung from the waist down.
I'm not even sure that we understand the concept of Everbuddy jean vaults anymore.
Nope.
Pretty sure we don't.
And one more thing before we move on. I don't want to call you out on this, man, but this isn't a philosophy. Like, this isn't the kind of thing that you base your life choices on. Like, this is something that, like, I don't think we should wash the jeans. It's not like you're starting, like, a temple on this.
If your jeans smell like hot, rotten wood, then, like, I think that's going to inform a lot of the decisions in your life. I feel like it's going to...
This isn't like when someone's like, man, your jeans smell real bad. And you're like, oh, I believe in the Tao of jean smelly. Like, that's not a thing.
Well, that can be a thing. And I feel like you're totally wrong on this. I feel like that if you say that word, that sentence out loud to somebody, a potential love prospect, that they will leave you You know? And then that will inform even more decisions of your life.
So, like, in Facebook, where it says, like, religious views, you put smelly jeans.
Yeah,
smelly
I don't jeans. Wash my jeans to preserve their color.
If you want to really sell this, build a little, put a little portrait of Matthew McConaughey somewhere in your house. Mm-hmm. Like, some votives around it and stuff.
Does he not wash his jeans?
Oh, crusty one. You are the crustiest.
Does he have crusty...
He's wearing nothing but crusty dungarees. You know it.
Have you? Oh, have you worn the Everybody crusty dungarees? The double
They
jeans.
More or less stand up on their own.
Double crusty. They got three legs.
The only way to get in them is to be lowered in them because they're just rock hard.
They have to be fused onto you.
Yeah.
Thanks,
everybody. They're worth every penny, though. Worth every penny.
How much do you guys spend on jeans? What's the max? I had this argument with somebody the other day. I don't spend more than like $35.
$20.
Jeans. 20?
I know I'm going to destroy them is the thing. Like, I know between wearing cowboy boots and like working in the shop, I'm going to destroy these pants in about a month and a half.
Yeah.
Justin? I don't like to spend a lot because I tell myself I'm going to lose weight so soon. They won't fit for very long. I'll say, I'm going to be too skinny for these soon. Not going to be this husky forever. But I still shop in the husky boy section.
Can you shop in the maternity section?
Well, no, I mean, I'm not that. You're saying like...
You can cinch them. You can cinch them up. Cinch them with a web belt.
You don't have to worry about that with everybody's.
Yeah. Why is that?
Everybody's are molded to your body and you can never take them off.
Do you guys remember in Back to the Future 2?
Yes.
Like he pulls the thing and he goes and like sucks up. I want that. Why don't we have that technology?
Everybody technology?
Yeah.
Because it was a movie. I mean, we don't have like hoverboards.
It was a film. It was a fictional. Yeah, like, wasn't a docudrama. That was a fiction. It was a piece of fiction.
It was a
fiction.
What?
It was a fiction
license.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what a nonfiction is?
It was not
nonfiction. It was fake. It was total fake Hollywood bullshit.
Okay, so it was fake like Benjamin Franklin.
Okay. No. Okay,
back it up.
Okay.
If you see someone on Money, they're real.
Okay, got it.
He was really one of our earliest presidents. Benjamin Franklin. Okay.
If you see somebody on Spin City, then it's fake.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense to you? So
Michael J. Fox is not a real person.
Okay.
Are you saying, Griffin, are you only saying that projects that involve people with Parkinson's disease are fake? Is that what nonfiction
Griffin, that's cold.
Well, that's cold.
This whole thing has gotten away from me.
Yeah, I think you're the one who maybe needs the word class. On words. Whenever I talk to my friends about a cartoon, a comic, game, manga, or anime, they seem interested in it. What's up?
No, you did. You read all those words. You did such a good job representing our Japanese ties.
Manga and anime. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's proper.
And they seem interested in it. I offer to lend them to discuss media. The thing is that from time to time, I give them stuff, I get it back, they never touch it. At this point, I'm considering if I should stop lending stuff out altogether, but I really do want to share the joy/hate of these things and discuss them with my friends. What should I do? That's the Lost Lore Lender of Los Angeles.
Can we take a moment and say that everybody is getting very good at those nicknames?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone's doing a much better job.
I think that sometimes people spend more time coming up with the clever nicknames than they do the question. And I love it, don't get me wrong. But I would like to think that people said, they go, I have this really important, pressing question. But not yet. Not until I know what my name's going to be.
Let me
cook something up. I think that this question asker needs to be a little bit better at detecting when people are being polite.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. You need to take a long, hard look and say, are they really interested?
Because if all you talk about is Gundam when you're hanging out with them, then eventually, they're gonna say yes, Gundam, yes.
That sounds pretty cool. Okay.
If you spend like 30 minutes laying out the whole plot to Gundam Onoriki B7 Party Down,
that's the one about the vitamins, right?
Yeah, let's talk about the vitamins that work at a catering service.
Yeah. It's really good. It's, I mean, like, it's underappreciated, but if you spend 30 minutes relaying the plot to them, they're not going to look you dead in the eye and say, well, that sounds like incomprehensible bullshit. They're going to say,
that
like,
just sounds like some real made-up rigmarole.
sounds pretty good to me. Pretty good.
And so I would say good rule of thumb is if they ask to borrow it, boom. Let them borrow it. But don't be like, hey, remember that thing we talked about yesterday that you said sounded kind of cool? I brought it in today. Here you go. They don't want it.
It's also really hard to... You got to stop thinking of... I want to get them into the things that I like and try to think of what they will actually enjoy rather than just trying to convert them because it's good. There are many things that are good that the people in your life won't care for. Like, for instance, I watch Breaking Bad by myself. Because I know my wife would not enjoy it. It's very grim.
Yeah.
But it's still a good show. I mean, I enjoy it, but it's not her taste.
That's how I was with Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks is an amazing show, but I know that that is not Teresa's bag, you know? I actually learned this lesson from my buddy Brent, Brennel Floss, when we roomed together in college. I would come to him, like, when Family Guy first came out, and I was sitting there going, dude, you're going to love this. Check it out. And he more or less politely refused to watch it because I was so... passionate about trying to get him to do it that he kind of pushed back naturally.
Well, way to go, Travis.
Well, but then 2 years later he started watching it on his own and came back and said, you're right, Family Guy is awesome. And like, but
and that's the story of how Brent started watching Family Guy.
People have been writing in and asking us for the origin story of Brent watching Family Guy, and there you have it.
If you would like him, to hear the whole story, you can check out my blog, How Brent Started Doing Stuff.
The next issue of the Brendel Floss comic is good. It's going to be about his origins in the
world of sewer. How did Brent start scrapbooking? That's what I want to know.
How did you have any? Saying, you got a scrapbook. Scrapbooking is awesome.
Look at these. These pictures are everywhere.
Check out these wallpaper samples I found.
Check out this floral print. I got a really fun, really kicky foam font that you can stick on to just say, like, winner or home run or top prize or blue ribbon or science fair or anything. Wedding day before wedding day.
Baby's first gum. Whatever.
Baby's last gum.
Put that gum down. Science fair.
Never again. Dear Bubblegum, your product choked my baby. I would like a refund. And I will put your response in my scrapbook.
I also think, not to in any way put down these media forms at all, but as you move into things like manga, anime, comics, that kind of stuff, you are less likely to reach a wider audience.
Yeah, they're pretty esoteric. And that's fine, because the people that you are going to find who are going to be enthusiastic about them are going to be doubly enthusiastic. But maybe
there's a difference between, like, oh, you've never seen the Star Wars movies? Check these out. And, like, here's Vampire, Love Diary, Killer Samurai 7.
Yeah, because a lot of the, especially with things like manga and anime, there's a lot of cultural touchstones that you really need to be
like
indoctrinated in before you know you can really get the most out of it. And it's kind of hard, I think, for some people to just sort of get on board with that whole aesthetic without, you know, really growing up with it and being introduced to it a lot. Mm-hmm. If you want to do geeky, start out with something easier.
Like Scott Pilgrim is a good place to start with manga.
No, that's not. Yeah, that's a good idea. See, there you go. Get him. You ease him into the cues. The cute little story about a guy who loves a girl and also loves poutine, and you work from there. Build from there.
But I think good rule of thumb: wait for them to ask to borrow it.
What is a manga? And you say, "Oh, friend, come to me. This is Evangelion."
And it's also, I think it's also just like anything else where if you are too forward, if you're the guy who's trying too hard, like if you're the guy that brings something in anytime anyone talks about it, you're going to become less and less popular. So make them want it.
It's annoying. What you do is you show them where it is on your shelf and say, it's over here if you want to borrow, it's over there if you want to borrow it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they want to borrow it, fine. God bless.
Yeah.
But, don't pressure him, because yeah, you're right. I mean it's a weird situation to have something that someone lets you that you don't really want to read or watch.
Mm-hmm.
I did that with Griffin's novel for about a year.
Yeah.
I just gave it back eventually.
Wait, what?
Sorry?
You said you loved it. Are you talking about Grant Andrews' Kid Cop?
Mm-hmm. I read the entirety. No, I'm sorry. Grant Andrews' Kid Cop, I loved very much. I knew I was going to love. It was one of those, you know, when you meet someone.
Yeah.
And right away, you know, this is something special.
That is special.
I felt that way about after the first three pages. Like, I read them and
I think we can all agree that Grant Andrews' Kid Cop is lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
It is lightning in a bottle. I wanted to savor it. I'm reading a page a year.
You know, you have to be careful with lightning in a bottle, because if you let it out, you get struck by lightning and you die.
I hope, Travis, that it's not lightning in a bottle, because I'm already working on Grant Andrews' Teen Cop. He goes around patrolling the area for teen crimes on his jetpack.
I'm just glad, Griffin, that you're working on these sequels in a timely manner. Like, every 15
years. I will be on my deathbed working on Grant Andrews' 20-something cop.
I'm looking forward to Grant Andrews' cop. Because he will get to that point. And then... and then crazy old Mr. Andrews in the house down the lane.
If we get to crazy old Mr. Andrews, Griffin's going to really have to start doing some clean living to get to like 137.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to Grant Andrews meets Paul Blart.
Yeah. That's the crossover that I'm doing with DC.
Cop team.
Man, what about Grandpa Cop? That's a nice little turn of phrase.
You like Grandpa Cop?
I like Grandpa Cop because, well, I mean, that's pretty much... that's pretty much every Clint Eastwood movie that's been released since the early 90s.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
I want Smothers! I know you do.
Where's the justice? All my Werther's. No, you gave away your Werther's. You gave them to everybody. I had a bag full of Werther's. Yeah, no, I know. You.
I miss my dog. Which one?
You've had many dogs over the years.
I'm putting baggy jeans under arrest.
My gun is heavy.
Come back here. I'm 3 feet away. I'm just standing. Come closer.
We're making fun of Clint Eastwood now, and I don't know how I feel about that.
Let him come for me. Let him come.
He will. He will come with a swift breeze of death. Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Yes, please.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. Yeah. Do you want us to get like riled up? Is that it?
Yeah, woo! I want you to get psyched. This one was sent in by Kristen Travers. Thank you, Kristen. It's by Yahoo Answers user. Oh, fuck. Sayamara, who asks...
Psyduck.
This one was asked by Psyduck, the Pokemon. He asks, can you list the reasons...
Psyduck! That's what he asks. That's all he says.
That was Justin's Pokemon impression. Can you list the reasons why a man cries? As many as possible be appreciated.
Like a full list?
I think you want something comprehensive.
Well, if it's me, number one at the top of that list is cartoon robots.
Yeah. Cartoon robots are the saddest thing, whether they be toasters or Wally's. Iron Giants?
Iron Giants.
Iron Giants is the saddest.
And then, like, a subcategory of that is, like, any Pixar movie where somebody learns a lesson. I'm going to cry in that.
But see, that's a... Cartoon Robots is right, because only men cry at those. Pixar movies, I feel like, is more universal. I've seen females cry at Pixar movies.
Right, but, like, women cry watching Up for the wrong reasons. They don't know that Ed Asner is a robot.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah, they don't know. They didn't understand the subtle hints and clues that his character is actually an android.
I mean, really, they're all robots. They're all computers.
Look how big he is. He's 2 feet tall. You ever see a person like that? Nope.
Yeah, he's like a little, microwave.
Robot.
He's boxy, too. He's cuboid.
He was a little servo bot.
A little servo bot with a dead wife. When something falls on their privates, or something with velocity collides with their private area.
I would say if anything falls on them in general.
No, because I can take a blow to the head from like a like an umbrella that falls down on me. But if that umbrella somehow squarely falls on my penis, then it's, the tears. That's when the that's what makes the tears.
Hey guys, straight up, I'm going to call you guys out. What is the most random, weirdest thing that you've ever gotten choked up over?
There is a Staples commercial where the dad is at the store and he says, we have to buy all these supplies and they're for the kids. And his wife's a teacher and she's like, well, the school doesn't have enough money this year. And then she sees him at another register later, even though he was upset. And he's buying some supplies for her class.
Oh, man.
I want you to know, I actually just got choked up. Just listening to you tell about the story. That's have beautiful.
Money. I'm getting worked up again. The Staples commercial. any more? Now that I'm an old man, any Christmas commercial?
Literally any Christmas commercial. For me, it's that Zales commercial. Or no, it's K Jewelers, where they're in the cabin. And the girl and the guy are standing there, and the lightning strikes. And he holds her, and he's like, don't worry, I'm here. I'll always be here. And he gives her the thing. And I cry because that woman's about to be murdered. she's about to get murdered in a cabin, and all of her friends and family will never see her again.
I got to call bullshit because I opened my heart with that Staples commercial revelation, and you went for a gag. Okay, and I had to call shenanigans on
you. You want to know what commercials I've cried at?
No, I want to.
You want to know mine? This is an embarrassing, deep, dark secret.
Okay.
Katy Perry's Firework.
Fuck you. What? Wait, hold on. No more questions today, kids.
Hold on one second, Travis, because was it because the song played right after you won the season finale of America's Next Top Model? No, wait, you weren't on America's Next Top Model.
I was having a particularly rough, sleepy day. I was at the end of like a 100-hour work week, like I often do.
Yeah.
And I just was singing at the top of my lungs, but saying, I'm a firework. And it was it was particularly moving. And now I wish I would have just kept that one to myself.
I don't know if it's better if you're joking or not. Like, I can't know. You can never tell me. Actually, no, I need you to tell me this is a joke right now. I need you to tell me you're kidding.
No, I like the picture of a single tear rolling down your paint-covered face and then resting gently in the nestles of your beard.
You are a firework, Travis. Don't ever let anybody
that tell is you true. You are different. A firework.
I've long thought when Travis McElroy springs to mind, it's with a trail of sparks behind him. Because he, goddammit, he's a firework. Mm-hmm. You explode.
You know what the worst part about that is, too?
Yeah, I do, Travis. I know what the worst part is. I know what the worst part is, Travis. I do. I do know the worst part. It's the part that it is it. It is. The thing that it is, the fact that it is that.
The thing it is?
The thing it is the worst thing.
It is the thing, and then you do it.
Like, you've heard the song, right? You didn't just cry at the idea of it. Like, you heard the song.
I want you guys to know I'm crying right now. So I changed it. That's the last thing I got choked up by. You guys being mean.
I like to
cry. Because,
like,
baby, I'm a firework.
Yeah.
How dare you talk to a firework like him, like that?
Do you guys ever just think about sad things to try and get a good cry out?
I didn't until about 30 seconds ago. Now I got all the sad things I need to last me forever.
Because crying feels so good, I think. It's like jerking it for your eyes.
Forcing a cry is like jerking it for your emotions.
Well, have you ever heard someone say that, anyone ever, when you hear someone say it's a tear jerker, that's what they're talking about. That's what they mean.
Now, that is not using tears as a lubricant as you masturbate. No, that's something Jeffrey Dahmer does. Don't do that. Jeffrey Dahmer did. I'm sorry.
Do you guys know what we forgot to do last week?
Fuck.
Oh, God.
We forgot to ring in the new month.
Yeah.
Like we do. Time is so tight. Let's just burn through them. Apple month. That'd be appropriate, wouldn't it?
Yeah, appropriate. Appropriate moving.
Church Safety and Security Month. Cut out dissection month. Eat better, eat together month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, energy management is a family affair, improve your home month. Shut the fuck up, you.
That's not a month. No, you just said you took a whole month to say it.
Feral hog month.
Yep.
Hog out month.
Feral hog is a good one.
watch out for that pig!
That's pretty much sums it up, though.
The end.
Month of free thought.
Just shh. It's National Chili Month. It's also National Caramel Month, but I would prefer chili, I think.
If you see a web that says, holy fucking shit, feral pig, just turn around and run.
What is it? What do I even know what a feral pig is? Because I don't think I do.
Yeah, I think it's a pig that was raised, like a pig that was raised by wolves.
Oh, that's guys, really this is the fucking story. Coolest month. I'm going through. It's pizza month. Guys, it's sausage month. Guys, it's raptor month.
What?
What is the coolest things? Pizza and raptors.
And raptor pizza.
I'd like a pizza. If you could just put some sausage and feral pig on that. Meat is something that it is domesticated and then became wild. It went from being domesticated to wild.
This is like people that have released their pot-bellied pigs back into the wild.
Okay. Let's do this. This is a good thread. Okay. How about, hey, have you guys seen Babe Pig in the City with a gun? my brother and me. Hey. Not so much a PSA though, was it?
No. How about this? Hey, stop flushing your baby piglets down the toilet because then they grow to be feral in the sewers and it's terrifying. My brother and me.
It's a little wordy, but I'll accept it. Oh no. You flushed too many baby piglets, and now you've made a pig king.
Oh, the pig king. He was right there.
Oh, a pig king would be so adorable, wouldn't it? With all of its snoots and snouts.
Oh,
look at all these little corkscrew tails. I want to pinch him, pig king.
My brother, how about this? Why has no one ever caught on tape a fight between a feral pig and an urban fox? My brother and me.
Man, that would be fucking... That's the new Sci-Fi Ridge, isn't it?
How else are you going to get feral bacon? My brother and me.
What do you guys think of... I mean, I would know more ways to warn people. Like, obviously, you should stay away from a feral pig.
How about...
Because I don't know what kind of diseases it's contracted. Uh-huh. I just don't know how to warn people against this thing if I haven't seen it in action. Like, is it fast? Is it dangerous? Will it bite you?
I mean, pig, what is the difference between a feral pig and a wild boar? That's my question. Aren't those the same thing?
I think a feral pig is known the luxuries, the conveniences of mankind.
Yeah.
And a wild boar hasn't. And I don't know if that makes it, I don't know if that makes it tough. I feel like a feral pig is just going to be kind of sad. The feral pig is just going to think about the life that he used to have and he doesn't have anymore, you know?
Right.
He's going to be bitter.
It looks like they're going to be... I'm doing a little research right now on the internet. It looks like they're... It looks like they're going to be furrier.
Okay.
It looks like they're going to have big tusks.
Oh, no.
It actually looks... They basically look like Peter Jackson, in short. You can imagine Peter Jackson with bigger, lower teeth. That's what a feral pig looks like.
And slightly more charm.
Hey, Peter Jackson, I liked you way better when you were super fat.
Yeah.
Like, you were so jolly.
When you looked like the kind of guy who had spent his entire life directing a Lord of the Rings movie.
Yeah. I feel like you're getting above your raisin right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You went from looking like a dwarf to an elf. To use terminology that you would understand.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like it one bit. I don't like it. You look emaciated. I want to give you a sandwich made of the finest elven bread.
And wild and feral pig.
And sweet, sweet feral pig.
Is this feral pig? This is delicious. And then I look at it and I'm like, Dad? It's not your dad. It's feral pig. You know, they're a big problem in Cape Canaveral. Down in Florida, you'll see them rolling around.
Florida can't... Florida makes me so fucking angry the way they treat animals down there.
Yep. They throw alligators in sewers. They throw feral pigs out in pig bins.
They throw alligators at pigs.
Uh-huh. They make pig gators. Gator pigs.
They put birds in slingshots and then throw them at pigs.
Croc-a-swine! The monster I just invented is croc-a-swine. That's it. I don't have a joke. I just wanted to...
He's got the teeth of a gator, the ears of a pig,
he's got tusks and tusks and tusks and back ridges. like a crocodile does.
And he loves you.
And he loves you so much. Give him a kiss. No, don't. He's got so many tusks. Croco swine, tusks and ridges. Don't let him bite your face. He's got a tail and another tail that's curlier.
That's the one that grants wishes if you cut it off. Uh-huh. Just
he will give you bacon and boots.
I'm going to be honest. I thought Croco Swine would be much more intimidating, but he sounds pretty cool.
He's I want to hang out with him. If it weren't for all the tusks, he'd make a great home pet.
If it weren't for all those GD tusks.
He's like the giving tree of feral animals.
He's to give you bacon and boots with his meat and his skin.
And he'll make...
And he sweats penicillin, which is nice.
Yeah. He'll make people think you're hanging out with Peter Jackson.
Oh, that's unfair, because I feel like Peter Jackson isn't as scaly as Croco Swine.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. hey, have you guys checked out my new double crusty, double jean everybody vaults made of Croco Swine skin? That's oh my genuine God. Croco Swine.
Yeah, they're the ultimate callback pants.
hey, I want to hear Griffin's last question, but first, thank you so much again for listening. This is my brother, me, as you've gathered. Our website is mbmbam.com. You can email us mbmbam@maximumfun.org, and there's lots of other great shows at maximumfun.org you can listen to, in addition to forums where you can chat about our show and all the other great Max Fun products.
While you're there, while you're on MaximumFun.org, you should probably RSVP to Jordan and Jesse are hosting a great little comedy event in Pasadena, California. If you live in there, you should go to it. They're going to have Mark Maron from What the Fuck and Chris Fairbanks and Al Madrigal and DC Pearson. Go get your tickets now if you live in California, or if you even live around California, or
just drive over.
Just go there. Go to there.
Thank you everybody for tweeting about the show. Thanks to Thoughts and Such and Nikki the Rat, always Amy H, Aaron Atchison, Emily Perper, John Empty, the Pilgrims, Ham Doctors as always, Shinizaru, everybody.
Thanks everybody. And thank you to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, which is It's a Departure, which is you can find on the album Putting the Days to Bed, which you should find there because you should own it and hear it in your ears every day.
You've earned it.
You've earned it from me.
Beep. Beep.
Oh, my God. We're beep. Getting down to the wire.
Griffin, go. Last question. Hit me.
This final question I found. It's by Yahoo Answers user Frankie, who asks, me and my girlfriend want to have a role-playing sex based on the Terminator?
This is my brother and me. I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
Kiss your dad. Square on the lips. Did I mess that up?
You sure did.
A little bit.
Boop, beep, boop, beep. Keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart. Three stacks, these girls are smart. Play your part.